Ladies and gentlemen, we are having a very special episode of the Dream Take tonight because this is the very first episode we are doing on this platform called Locker Room. Yes, it's an audio-only app that allows you to talk in room. So it's half podcast, half radio show. So you're going to hear people potentially calling into the show tonight, talking about Rockets, Raptors. I also have my co-pilot, Michael Brown, coming, and he will give his thoughts on tonight's game. So the Rockets tonight, they fall to the Raptors 10 in a row, and it was just such an unfortunate game. Final score, 122-111. I have Michael Brown, my co-pilot, here with me. So, Mike, welcome to the first episode of the Dream Take on Locker Room.
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We got people popping in here. I'm about to tweet that we're live on our Twitter account at the Dream Take and from the Dream Shake Twitter account at Dream Shake SBN. But while I do that, why don't you give your thoughts, your first thoughts on tonight's game?
Tonight went about as I thought it would go. You know, to be honest with you, like, I did not think the Rockets were going to win this game. Toronto's just better than we are. With no Siakam tonight, I thought we may have had, like, a little bit of better chance to win. We didn't play well, man. Like, there's so many things from tonight that I have to question. Why did Justin Patton only play 10 minutes tonight?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Wish someone maybe we'll see someone asking. Maybe he's a part of this program. I think also part of it too had to do with the fact that the Raptors play such a small lineup too, and you can kind of get a, like, the Rockets were able to kind of get away with playing small tonight because the Raptors also play small. So it kind of benefited both teams tonight. That's not to excuse, you know. I think Justin Patton, you're starting to see a lot of growth from him, and I love to see it. I love what Justin Patton brought tonight. And to me, I think honestly it just had to do with matchups, and I'm not sure exactly why, but yes, I'm hoping that after tonight Steven Silas starts playing him more, because I think you look at him on – what was his plus minus tonight?
He was a plus five tonight.
Yeah, I mean – and he played pretty well. Like, I think when it comes to Justin Patton, I think that there's a little bit of hesitancy when it comes to him being like a lob threat. He isn't really a lob threat, but he does help this team on the court because of his size and just the simple fact that he is, you know, that he is 6'11" and the Rockets are playing the small ball. He does have those benefits, but other than that, he's also really good. He flashed a three-point. I think he made a three-point shot tonight. He is getting – you can see that he's getting more comfortable with the offense. It's just going to be the minutes. Like, can he get those minutes in order to stay there?
Yeah, for sure. He did hit a three tonight. He's shown flashes. I wouldn't call him good just yet, but he's been good enough to get back on the court.
That's what I'm saying too. Is he's not Christian Wood by any means, but I hope that we can see him play more than 10 minutes like he did tonight, because I think it would have made a difference. I don't know if it's the difference between winning and losing, but it is a difference, and I hope that he can show that moving forward. So I see people are starting to come in here. So if you have a question for us, We're gonna open for questions later in the show, but you can use the chat box over there like our buddy Lucas is doing right now. And at some point during the show, our show, we will have people, we can invite them to the stage and you can ask your question through there. So when we get to the Q&A portion of our show, you can either come up on stage and talk to us, or you can throw your question down in the comment section. So, Mike, let's talk, because, like, tonight, honestly, I feel like if there was a holiday or a movie to describe this Rockets team, you know what? I'm going with this.
Good Burger.
Well, no, that was a good movie. This team isn't good. But
where are you going?
It's Groundhog Day. They do the same thing every game. And it ends up with the same result every game, a loss.
The scary thing about tonight, though, is you would look at this Rockets team right now, and what would you say is the strength of this team if you had to choose one for a team that's on a 10-game losing streak? I would say it's the guard play, right?
You would think. I mean, yeah. John Wall and Victor Oladipo didn't play terribly tonight.
And Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Wall, Oladipo. Between those two guys, they had 48 points. And then Eric Gordon pitches in with 17. So they're at 65 points. Their problem is you gave up 25 to Van Fleet. You gave up 20 points to Kyle Lowry. And then you give up 30 points to Norman Powell and 30 points to DeAndre Bembry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you would look at this team and you would say, okay, the guard position is one that you can look to say, we should probably win that matchup, you know, between Oladipo, Gordon, and Wall. But tonight you didn't win that matchup and you got beat badly by that matchup, and that's where you lost the game.
You know, since you mentioned Good Burger, I'm hearing a lot of Kel Mitchell in your voice tonight.
Sorry.
I don't know what it is. No, it's – hey, that's totally fine.
I'm a tad under the weather as we're speaking.
Oh, well, stay safe.
I appreciate it. No. Yeah. But I'm here. I'm ready to go. But, yeah, you're going to get a little bit of that tonight. But, look, I mean, the Rockets scored 111 points tonight, man. Like, offensively, I really didn't have too many issues with the way they played. But, again, what killed them tonight, JB, it's getting off to a slow start. And they've done this time in and time out. It's like you get down, you know, by double digits. It's so hard to come back, especially against – I know coming into this game tonight, the Raptors were one game under 500. But this is a good team, man. Like, this team has a lot of top-end talent. The way I see it.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, Mike?
Yes.
The Raptors, what is their record after tonight?
17-17.
17-17, right?
Yes.
Okay. So those Raptors who are really good, but what's the Knicks record? 16-17. So a half game difference. And they're trash?
They are trash.
Oh, my God. They're the same record.
No, but the difference is that to me, the Raptors have more top-end talent than the Knicks do.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair. But at the end of the day, the records are pretty identical.
I mean, I get it. But all of these teams have gone through so many different things this year that, to me, like, outside of Julius Randle, who's a plus player on that team?
Emmanuel Quickley.
Okay. Well, I'll give you Quickley. Nice player. But
RJ Barrett's played pretty well this year.
He's played decent. But nothing like – Look at the Raptors. None of those guys are Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry, when he's healthy, Siakam. He had a bad game the other night, but Siakam's had a good year. And Anunoby. Anunoby's a nice player.
Anunoby, yeah.
I mean, that kid can play. So between the two teams, Toronto is better than the Knicks.
Well, yes, for sure. Yeah.
But – I mean, watching the game tonight, I had no problem with the way the Rockets played. They've got to do something in the first half, though. Like, they have to figure out a way to come out quicker.
To me, the first half wasn't an issue. Because if you look at where the two teams were at halftime, right? Yeah. The Raptors were up 8. But the only difference was a couple of free throws and maybe one shot. Because the percentages were almost identical. I think they were both shooting like 44% from the field, the Rockets and the Raptors at the time. And then you have the three-point shot tonight for the Rockets started to fall pretty early. It was the third quarter when things started to go icy because the Rockets went from down 8 to down 15. And the lead that the Raptors had grew to as much as 20. And at that point, the Rockets just couldn't they couldn't recover. And like, how many times have we seen these last 10 games where the Rockets go down early, fight their way back, but they can never get to where they're supposed to be?
Right. No, for
it's,
sure.
It's been every it's the Groundhog Day, bro. This is the Groundhog Day losing streak. Every single game that we've seen, or at least, you know, majority of the games that we've seen so far have been the exact same script. The Rockets have a decent run, then they go down big, then they fight back, and you're like, oh, could they do it? Could they do it? But then they don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like Candace when she's trying to bust Phineas and Ferb.
I don't know.
Like, she's like, oh, I got to bust Phineas and Ferb. And she's like, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then she never does it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Our audience is growing in the chat now. So we'll just kind of go up to the top. We are the Dream Take Podcast, presented by the Dream Shake, Houston Rockets, SB Nation, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. You can follow us on Twitter at the Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. Jeremy Brenner here and an under the weather Michael Brown. But I think this is a good time to open up some questions. So if you would like to talk in the chat, you can do so. Or if you want to come up on stage, hit that speaker request button and I will get to you. So just come in throughout if you want to call in. If you don't want to call in, that's totally fine as well. I will keep talking all night if I have to. But to me, the Rockets tonight, Mike, like, the issue tonight for the Rockets – like, was more so, in my opinion, on the defensive end. They aren't as aggressive on defense anymore that they have been, and that could honestly, I think that has to do with the losing streak, because you look at how teams operate when they have one or two guys, like or when they have one or two guys when they're winning games and all that, but when you're losing games. And you're losing big in these games. You're losing the teams you shouldn't be losing to. Then I think it's starting to grain to get under your skin. And it takes a few special guys like a David Nwaba to kind of pull them out. Because we'll talk about David Nwaba a little bit later. But that was, to me, like tonight, it was like the defense just was flat, in my opinion. Like they weren't out going for steals. The team had four steals. Like, they weren't active on defense. They were kind of just holding out and hoping the Raptors would miss their shot that they would eventually take. And then the Raptors would had 11 offensive rebounds tonight. They would take them up and score a second chance point. I wonder what second chance points look like tonight. Second chance points. Another thing, too, that's been bothering me lately is in transition. The Rockets don't get out quick enough in transition. They're a fast team. We've talked about this. They're fast enough to where they can go in transition and can go get transition buckets. Yet, I feel like we're seeing the team looks just too flat. There's no jump in the step. And when they get it, it's too late. And, there's no transition defense going on. Offensively, they don't get enough transition points because that was where the Raptors tonight really thrived.
Yeah, you and I talked about it when they acquired John Wall. We talked about the speed, right? When they acquired Oladipo, was we wanted this team to use their speed to get out into transition. Mm-hmm. You know, guys like Daniel House and guys like Jayshon Tate, those guys like to run. David Nwaba likes to run. David Nwaba, to me, he had 8 points, but when he was on the court tonight, the Rockets were a -9, which is a little shocking.
Because he was part of that big comeback in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, not to just specifically bring it back to Justin Patton, but Justin Patton was the only him and Eric Gordon were the only players tonight for the Rockets that were a positive plus minus. You know, Eric Gordon, I thought, he only shot 5 of 12 from the field, but he was 3 of 8 from 3. He had 17 points. And there were some bright spots from tonight. I will say that. I do think Victor Oladipo having the type of game that he had the more games he can have like this for the Rockets will only improve the haul that they're going to get back before the deadline. So even though lose tonight, I think that was a big plus for the Rockets.
Oh yeah, give me all the Vic trade packages. We'll talk Vic trade packages maybe a little later on. But yeah, if you guys, I'm going to read some of these things in the chat right now, because I got D in the chat here. He's saying Rockets play too slow for small ball. Yeah, I think.
Yep.
I agree. I can agree with that. But the thing is, with small ball, the Rockets are not looking to play small ball forever. They're only going to play small ball until Christian Wood comes back. Then when Christian Wood comes back, they'll have him. Patton will get the backup minutes. And they'll have a big at all times. And I think that's going to change a lot of the bad things that come in this offense. A lot of the offensive woes that they've had will be changed, because Christian Wood will play 35 minutes a night, hopefully. And, you know, that – so this small ball thing is only temporary. And D also mentions they don't make enough shots to take advantage of any team, and that's also true. Is you look at the offense, they shot 43%, which has been, you know, kind of on par, but maybe a little bit better than average compared to what they've been doing the last couple of games. But it was that third quarter where they shot 0 of 9 from 3 to begin the third quarter. That's just not good enough. Like, there's no – like, that – stretch at the beginning of the third quarter when they went from 8 to 15 cost them tonight. That is why the Rockets lost this game.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. And it comes down to just making shots, man. You know, when you look from the three-point line, you know, tonight, why is John Wall shooting 9 three-point shots if he's only making 2?
The thing with John Wall, though, is when he came to Houston, he wasn't that good of a three-point shooter. Then at the beginning of the season, he was shooting the best he's ever has in his career from 3. And I still think that his career 3-point mark for this season is better than any season he's had previously. I'm going to have to look that up and fact check myself on that. But yeah, if you look at his 3-point percentage, he's shooting 35% right now. He was shooting 38%. And that's his second best mark from 3 in his career. The only exception being the 2017-18 season when he shot 37%. So,
yeah. I'm talking about specifically like in game tonight. If you're going 2 of 9, you have to realize what your shot selection looks like and try to find better shots.
John Wall is playing a little too much like to put in Rockets terms. John Wall is playing a little too much like James Harden and needs to play more like Chris Paul. But the thing is with John Wall, because he knows Christian Wood is out, he knows that he is the number one scoring option on the team. And so that has to be a lot of pressure. Whereas when he talked about it in his press conference, how he likes to have the rolling big so that he can distribute more and that he can, you know, utilize his teammates more. He can get those assist numbers up, because his assist numbers are down this season and it's a career low for him, only 6.1 assists per game. But John Wall, this team is so different with Christian Wood is just, and we say that every time, but it's true. Like, I think if you insert Christian Wood into this game, take out the fact that the Raptors didn't have Pascal Siakam or their entire coaching staff, but if you put Christian Wood on this team against that Raptors team that came out tonight, I think the Rockets pull out the win.
Well, to be fair to John Wall tonight, I mean, he had 12 assists and you still lose by double digits. And I think one guy offensively that I look at that has to score the ball more is Jayshon Tate. He does. Yeah,
Jayshon Tate, not a good game tonight.
But he does. But if you look at his game in and game out performance, he hasn't been a guy that has scored. Like, he's not a 17 point a night kind of guy. He's always that. Like, tonight he had 8 points, but he only had 4-8 field goal attempts, and he was 50% from the field. The next step in his type of game, in my opinion, because defensively the guy's solid. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and the thing with Jayshon Tate is most of those shots, and the reason why his field goal percentage is as high as it is because he is the quintessential Rocket, because he only shoots layups and threes. And he shoots more layups than threes. What I'd like to see in Jayshon Tate's game as it develops is more of an outside shot, more of a confidence to shoot that outside shot. Makes him even more Swiss Army knife-like than he already is.
Yeah, I don't know if you notice this like I do, but there's multiple times a game where he has an open three, but he doesn't take it. He has that initial shot, but he's afraid to take that shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he'll pump fake and then he'll try to go to the bucket. And most times he's successful. But for me, his next step is becoming not an 8 to 12 point a game type guy, but more like a 13 to 17 a night kind of guy. Because John Wall tonight, you know, he had 12 assists and you lose by 11 points. So John Wall, I agree, needs to step more into that facilitator role. But to be fair to John Wall, who do you want him to pass the ball to? You know, Victor Oladipo? Okay, I give you that. Eric Gordon, I give you that. Sterling Brown only had 3 points tonight.
If only he had a rolling big that averages 20 points a game.
Oh, for sure. And if Christian Wood was here, then yeah, I mean, I'm all about it, you know. But the fact remains that John Wall is getting paid a lot of money to be on this team right now. And yes, you don't have Christian Wood. You got to figure out another way to win a game or win some games. And right now he's simply not doing that. So they need to go back to the drawing board after this game because they need to figure out a way to get started quicker. And maybe at this point, JB, you know, it's starting Eric Gordon. I don't know. Does starting Eric Gordon get you off to a better clip? I'm guessing it does. You know?
Say you start Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
Who comes out of that starting five? House or Oladipo?
House.
There you go. To me, I think the answer, to be honest, is to start Patton instead of House.
Yeah.
I think House is better off the bench. And if you at least start with Patton, I'm not saying play Patton starter minutes, but if you play Patton 15 minutes a game, but you get John Wall and him started and you open that part of the offense.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Then I feel like you get John Wall into a bit more of a rhythm.
Sure.
And if John Wall's in a rhythm, then everybody can be in a rhythm because he is the heartbeat of the offense.
Yeah, the starting Justin Patton makes a lot of sense. But you can tell just by, you know, and he's only been here. This is not an indictment on the coaching style of Silas. You got to play more than 10 minutes tonight, though. But it's also tough because they don't play a big guy. So, but you've got to play Patton more because the team just looks more cohesive. They look like a team that knows their role a little bit clearer, a little bit better when he's on the floor. So I agree with you. You know, maybe keep Gordon on the bench, which I think he's better coming off the bench.
Yeah. I think Silas has said that he's going to start PJ at center until Wood comes back. We'll see.
That's another positive from tonight, though, is PJ, you know, he scored, he upped his score, you know, the point per game average by like 1,100% tonight by scoring 11 points.
He scored 11 points. It was his first points. I think Jonathan Fagan tweeted out it was his first points in 2 weeks.
No,
because he had two scoreless games and then he sat out two games. So yeah, first points in 2 weeks for PJ Tucker.
Yeah, but
you saw what happened when you got PJ Tucker involved in the beginning of the game. You were winning. They were winning in that first quarter because they got PJ Tucker involved. And granted, a lot of that has to do with the fact that PJ was making his shots. That's another big step in this. But yeah, I think I wanted to see more. Like, PJ did his part tonight offensively. And that's what made the Rockets teams of the past 3 years so good, is because PJ was getting involved in on offense and everyone was a scoring threat. It wasn't 4-on-5 on offense like it has been a lot of this year. PJ was a legit threat from three and offensively. So if you look at PJ's numbers from last season and this season, so he was shooting 35% from three last season, 37 in 18-19, 37 in 17-18. This season, he's shooting 31%. So that's a 4 point. That's a 4 point decrease in percentage. It's 4 percentage points difference, and he's gone from averaging 7 a game to about 4.5, and that and that's why.
Yeah, and we. I feel like I'm bipolar with PJ Tucker because you just keep, you know, I keep going back and forth, and tonight you see that repertoire of why he's going to be so good for a playoff team. You know, like he still has those intangibles. It just it hasn't worked thus far with Silas and the system that he's trying to build. But look, man, I thought he had a decent game tonight. You know, and even when he was on the court, you know, the what did he have? He had 11 points, 7 rebounds. He was still a -6 on the floor. The Rockets lost tonight because they couldn't hit enough threes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, point blank. I mean, this team is still, without Christian Wood, they're purely built around being able to hit the three ball, you know, at a high clip, and they haven't been able to do that during this 10-game losing streak. And it's
pretty. Well, Christian Wood is, I think, statistically their best three-point shooter. That's also a big part of it. And I honestly think if you put Christian Wood in the game and he's that big presence, he does so much for spacing purposes as well. And he will get guys more open like Nwaba, like Sterling, like Eric Gordon. And that might generate more points for those guys. So I'm going to open the floor again for questions. If you guys have any questions, if you want to come up on the stage and speak, the floor is yours. Just hit that speaker request button and I'll come on, let you on. But always it's optional, not requiring you to come on. But just wanted to open up the floor again for possible speaking. I'm going through the chat right now and reading what y'all are saying. So we have Kaz over here. He says, it'd be hilarious if once we get Christian Wood back and KPJ up here, we go on a 10-game winning streak. Would be hilarious, but highly unlikely. Just imagine it, though. But honestly, so Kevin Porter, again, in the G League, put up a big, big night again. I want to say he had a double-double. It was like 27-10.
Yeah.
27-10 tonight in a win against Canton. But, yeah, so honestly, I think when it comes to – look, this team is going to look totally different once the trade deadline comes and goes, once All-Star break comes and goes. This team's going to look totally different. So that's why I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in the games right now, just because these games right now are not going to mean anything in the long run. And I'm looking more at this point, and it's only been the last couple of games in which I thought this. You know, if we go on a 10-game win streak coming back, we're right back in the playoff hunt. We'd probably be in the playoffs. In that top 10.
Yeah.
So, because if you look at it, still, the Rockets are just 4 games back of the 10 seed. So, and I'm not saying the Rockets should go and for sure try to get into the top 10. But honestly, I've said it before, and I'm not sure if you guys have listened to our show in the past, but the way that I see tanking is if we're going to tank, like, I don't want to lose games on purpose. That breeds a bad culture. It's just not what you do. You play to win the game. You don't play to lose the game, even if you do get a nice little draft pick. Because even if the Rockets are one of the worst 4 teams in the league, there's no guarantee they're going to get that pick. Because if they fall out of that top 4, the pick is conveyed to the Thunder. So there's that risk that you run if you do try to, you know, air quote, tank the season. So honestly, I just want to see from this team a team that fights hard every night. And, you know, if they win, cool. If they don't, oh well. And if they get in the top 4, so be it. I honestly think, though, the Rockets will – like, because no one's going to want to join a loser. Like, if you think about it, like nobody's going to want to join a loser unless you get overpaid.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to get a bunch of overpaid guys like Detroit has. Detroit overpaid a boatload of people last season in the offseason. They overpaid on – Okafor, overpaid on Josh Jackson, overpaid on Mason Plumlee, and they're one of the worst teams in the league. So I want to get guys that are going to be here, like a John Collins. I saw John Collins mentioned in the chat. We've been talking about John Collins and that 12:01 a.m. meeting on night 1 of free agency for a couple of weeks now. So
right.
Yeah, John Collins is not going to want to come to Houston if Houston is trying to lose games. It's just not – it's not in their nature. And I don't expect Steven Silas to go down that route. I don't expect John Wall to go down that route.
So you're hopping into the Mike Brown thinking train that tanking is stupid and the draft picks are nice, but it doesn't get you – it doesn't guarantee you talent on your team.
That's another thing too. Is yes, it doesn't guarantee you talent. We agree in that part. We agree that tanking is bad, but for different reasons.
Yeah, it's the right now. Let me tell you something, okay? This is no, right now, even in the offseason, the Texans dominate the talk of the town. The Astros are the talk of the town. For whatever fans, and we have a loyal fan base that listen to this show and follow our tweets, which is awesome. For the ever-dwindling number of fans that are watching this Rockets team right now, the Rockets have to infuse some sort of excitement into this team to keep that fan base engaged.
Especially when a lot of fans can't even go to the games.
Correct. And so post All-Star game or post All-Star break, get Christian Wood healthy and bring up Kevin Porter Jr.
Which is going to happen.
Yeah, and there's nothing left that this kid has to prove. Like, you've done it, okay? Come be a part of the roster. At this point, bring up KJ Martin, too.
And Silas said in the presser today, pregame, that they're both coming up after the All-Star game. So.
But bring them up, and I want to see them in legitimate minutes. I don't want to see them in a, in every other game type of scenario with Mason Jones. Like, let them play. Let them get minutes. This kid is going to produce at the next level. Like, tell me if I'm too off on this, but it feels like Kevin Porter Jr. has the ability to be like a Yordan Alvarez for the Astros. Like, you bring this kid up, and he just produces.
Mm-hmm.
Day in, day out, at a high level. That's the type of impact I think Kevin Porter Jr. can have for this team. That Yordan Alvarez had for the Astros.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have he's putting up like 20-10 nightly in the bubble, right? He's not going to come and do that immediately in Houston. At least that's not what we're expecting out of him. But it's something like he's only 20. He's raw as raw can be. I don't even know if he's. I mean, if you consider he's only played 50 NBA games, yeah, he's raw, but. Let's get him cooking. He's the new chef in town. Let's get him cooking. And honestly, for me, as it might not excite the casual fan, but Kevin Porter and Christian Wood are enough to excite me as a Rockets fan.
Yeah, and
which will keep me engaged. And I'm not just saying that because I cover the team for thedreamshake.com. I'm not saying that because I have a podcast called The Dream Take. I'm not doing that. Like, it's that even if I didn't have those things, I would still be into this Rockets team.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and that's why it depends on who's still here after the All-Star break, right? Because at this point, after watching the game tonight, Victor Oladipo should not be a Rocket after the All-Star break. Aaron Gordon should be a Rocket after the All-Star break. PJ Tucker should be gone. Like, free up these minutes for these guys to slot in and allow them to get some good run. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like at this point, Kevin Porter Jr., guys who have that it factor have that it factor no matter how many games that they've played in the NBA. I feel like Kevin Porter Jr. has that it factor. And if you come back after the All-Star break with a starting five of Wall, House, Porter Jr., Christian Wood, and
Jae Sean Tate.
There's your five. And I'll tell you this, man. Even if we're losing games, this team is going to be fun as hell to watch because they're going to be young. They're going to be energetic. They're going to play off of each other. Wall is going to be that much more impactful with things that you said from before. That's the type of team that a city and a fan base can get behind.
Yeah. Also, you have to keep in mind that the Rockets are going to get a package for Vic if they end up trading him. one package that I've kind of thought about is let's and if you guys want to throw out your like potential trade ideas in the chat, you know, we're 4 weeks away from the trade deadline where the Rockets are once again going to be one of the biggest players in the trade deadline. So we're going to be definitely looking at trade deadline scenarios throughout the next, you know, couple of weeks on the podcast, on the Dream Shake. So be sure to keep up with that. But I'll start this conversation by throwing out a scenario where Victor Oladipo goes to either the Jazz for Bojan Bogdanović and a pick.
Ooh.
What that does is gives the Rockets a 3-point shooter that they desperately need. The contracts are about the same. Bogdanović is a guy that's making, you know, $20 million a year. Now, I'm not exactly sure if the Jazz are going to do that, because Jazz are so good at this point that, you know, look, do they need an upgrade? It's debatable. And an upgrade at this point could be detrimental to them because it does more harm than good because of the breakup in chemistry that you could possibly see, right?
So that's a huge gamble by Utah, though.
It is a big gamble by Utah, but at this point, if I'm Utah, like if I'm number one in the West and I've got a shot at it, why not? I don't expect it to happen, but it's something to consider. Another team I'd consider, it'd be an interesting trade, but keep in mind, remember last trade deadline, the Wolves and Warriors made a big trade, and both those teams were out of it. Here's a trade that I think makes a lot of sense for Houston.
Okay.
Find a way to get Buddy Hield to Houston. Now, I'm not saying Victor Oladipo goes back to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Maybe he does because, you know, Buddy Hield is on the books for a while in Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
I want to say he's on the books for like 2 or 3 more years. At least.
Yeah, the only thing with Vic going to Utah is you already have Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. To me, that's too big of a replicator of Mitchell.
Yeah.
Like Bogdanović just makes more sense in Utah than Vic does because you already have Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Man, why would Sacramento give you Buddy Hield? Well, not give us. Well, what they get in return, I would love.
Because Buddy is anti Luke Walton, and yeah. He hasn't been playing well. I actually, to be honest, the reason why I came up with this is because I spoke to someone on the Locker Room app yesterday, and he was a Kings guy, and I want to look him up, but I forget his name. But anyway, we were talking about like how the Kings run a losing streak, how the Rockets run a losing streak, and how they had Tyrese Halliburton. And you're looking at Tyrese Halliburton, you're like, oh well, he's like, other than De'Aaron Fox, like Tyrese Halliburton is the number two guy for them. Like he is their dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to start – like, their idea is we got to get a Fox Halliburton backcourt going. And Buddy coming off the bench doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, and it's a 4-year contract that he has, and you can easily get out of the books there. There's also the connection with Monty McNair in Sacramento, the former Rockets assistant GM. I'm not saying that the Rockets and Kings are going to make this straight up deal, Oladipo for Buddy, but let's use that. Let's try to build a trade like that. If you guys have something in the chat about like Buddy Hield or anything like that, I see Lucas doesn't like Buddy. Lucas, you want to explain why you don't like Buddy? You can do that in the chat. You can come up and talk about it. If you're just coming into the room and you want to come up, feel free to drop that speaker request. But I see a lot of trade talk in the chat for John Collins. Now, I think I remember the Hawks were saying they want a first-round pick for John Collins. And
done.
If I'm the Rockets, well, I know you, because Mike hates draft picks, but to me, why would you trade a first-round pick if you're not for sure going to get him
in free agency? But didn't you say earlier that you and I are on a similar wavelength of, like, draft picks don't guarantee you.
No, I said that's the reason why we're on different opinions.
Okay, so, like, for me...
You need draft picks because draft picks are lottery tickets, and you need as many lottery tickets as you can to cash in on the dude that's going to win you a championship.
But the thing for me is the Rockets need to figure out, or I should say, Rafael Stone needs to figure out where Tillman Fertitta is with his mindset of his organization moving forward. Because I would not give up a first-round pick for John Collins if we don't have a legitimate chance at signing him.
John Collins is a restricted free agent, so the Rockets will have a chance to match.
But that's what I'm saying. Offer. You have to figure out if you're willing to, A, spend the money to keep John Collins. Because to me, the conversation starts at 4 years, $75
million. He's not going to accept that. Like, he's looking for, like,
I didn't say he would accept that. I said that's where it starts.
That's disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful.
That's disrespectful.
16-9
because he declined that extension from Atlanta. I think Atlanta offered him something like that, $475 or something like that, and
but
he declined
it. Clear. But
he's
going
to get paid like Clint Capella did, like Steven Adams did. Like that's the kind of market that you're looking at for John Collins. He's going to ask for like $4,120. I say like four. For John Collins, I say like $4,100. I think that's enough. That's a reasonable amount. It sounds like a lot because it's $100 million, and when you think $100 million, you think, oh, the best players make $100 million. And when you think of the best players, you don't think of John Collins. But that's just how the NBA is going. The contracts are getting bigger and bigger every year.
But that's what I'm saying. But real quick, what I'm saying is it starts at 4 years, $75 million. He turned down that type of money from Atlanta because, let's be honest, nobody wants to be stuck in Atlanta playing basketball. Sorry.
I don't know about that.
Okay, well.
I think he's on a great – like, Atlanta has a great future.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They drafted Trae Young.
Congrats. What is their
Trae
record?
Trae Young is the closest thing to Steph Curry then. That has come into this league.
No, come on. Do not do that to Steph Curry. I don't like Steph Curry, but you cannot compare Trae Young to Steph Curry.
He's the closest thing, like shooting-wise.
He's a good shooter. Yeah, he's a good shooter.
That's what I said.
Is Atlanta?
You let me finish. You make me look like a clown on here, Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. To say that Atlanta's future is not bright is a bit of a take. It's a bit of a take. It's a big take.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, right? So who's your best player? Trae Young, nice player. Nice player. Hasn't even made the playoffs yet, okay?
You have John Collins. He was an all-star starter last year, Mike.
Okay, I get it. But I'm just saying John Collins doesn't want to be there. Gallinari, overpaid.
No, it's not that John Collins doesn't want to be there. John Collins just wants to get paid.
And Atlanta's not going to pay him what he wants. I would give him 4 years.
Yeah.
I would feel comfortable at 4 years, like $80 million for John Collins. So we're close. You and I are close on our evaluations. But outside of that, you have Gallinari, who's overrated and overpaid. You got Rajon Rondo. Congrats. What else makes you excited if you're a Hawks fan?
DeAndre Hunter.
I mean, okay. Nice player.
DeAndre Hunter's averaging like 18 a game at one point this year.
So are they better than Boston?
Boston, like don't talk about Boston right now. Boston,
okay, but top to bottom at the end of the year, are they better than Boston? Are they better than Philly? Are they better than Milwaukee? Are they better than Miami?
No, they're not there yet, but they're getting there. Like, DeAndre Hunter is 23 and he's averaging 17 a game in the NBA. Clint Capella's had good games for them this year. Like, you can see them growing together. Trae Young's only in his third year in the NBA.
I like Atlanta.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, I mean, I like Atlanta. I don't love Atlanta compared to other teams in the East. They're not the upper echelon team yet, and a lot can change year over year. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I would love John Collins.
Well, yeah, because that's how rebuilds work, Mike. It takes time. It's not something that's going to change overnight.
But when you're Atlanta going out and spending money like they did on Rondo and on Gallinari and on Clint Capella, you need to reap those benefits rather quickly to make that money pay off.
Yeah. I'm going to look at some of these comments here in the comment section. So we have there's talks about giving Kevin Porter or not Kevin Porter, Kevin Huerter from Atlanta, Tony Snell, John Collins Huerter for Victor Oladipo. I think that's a little too much. I don't think that Atlanta would give up that much for Victor Oladipo, considering the fact that I feel like a team will overpay for Victor Oladipo. Is because the thing is, the teams that are looking to get Victor Oladipo are the teams that he's going to be the fourth best player on. Like, if Utah gets him, Victor Oladipo is the fourth or fifth best player on Utah. Like, when he's like our third best player.
I mean, so he would be behind Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and Conley? Yeah?
Yeah.
That's about right. So he'd be tied
and
for
Clarkson. Clarkson's player. Better than Oladipo right now, too.
Who?
Clarkson.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be their fifth guy. He'd be their fifth guy, but he's a really good fifth guy because he can be the third best guy on a lesser team like the Rockets. So, yeah. So I don't know if Atlanta would be willing to give him up just because I don't see why they would just go for one restricted free agent for another. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Lucas says, in my opinion, Buddy is too old for our team and way too one-dimensional. He's getting paid big money for the next couple of years. I do see that as well. But Buddy's a good three-point shooter. And at this point, the Rockets, one thing they need more than anything right now is a good three-point shooter. So that's why I think Buddy would make sense for this team. I do see the side, though, where he can be one-dimensional at times. And I think that's why Kings fans are willing to let him go so quickly. We have PJ for Etuan Moore and Jalen Smith. That's an interesting deal. Although I don't know if the Suns would give up Jalen Smith, their top 10 pick, after just a cup of coffee in the NBA. But I mean, I would love to see Jalen Smith here. I think that'd be a decent idea. PJ for Zeke Nagy and a 2023 second from Denver.
I do.
That's potential. Yeah, I mean, if you can get a young prospect, like, that will help the Rockets. Because I think at this point, the Rockets are looking to develop as many players as possible and hope for the best. But again, it's going to be hard to trade rookies. We don't see rookies traded that often. I mean, we saw it with, like, KJ McDaniels, and that was a huge mistake from Philly when they traded him to Houston in 2016? And then you had... like Thomas Robinson was traded as a rookie to the Rockets as well. Was he a rookie that year?
No, I think he was in his second year.
Or was he in his second year?
But Denver, I don't know if Denver makes sense for
me. Yeah. Thomas Robinson was traded to the Rockets in his rookie year.
Denver doesn't make sense just because you have a log jam in that position already with Michael Porter Jr. and Will Barton. So I don't know. I don't know if Denver
for Vic? No, I think he's saying for PJ. PJ for Najee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. PJ Tucker there. I don't see
PJ is a four. I don't know if PJ is the right. There was talk about the net. I think it was the Nuggets, the Nets, and
I
the
will
Heat
tell you this.
That we're talking about PJ?
I will tell you this. I would love to get Hartenstein back from Denver.
No.
No.
Pass. I'd rather have Patton.
Another
one that's been also talking about, D mentions PJ for Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, that matches up perfectly with salary. And I guess Spencer Dinwiddie would have bird rights with Houston next season.
5 seconds.
Because that's honestly, for Brooklyn, like, that's their last potential. He has a player option for 21-22. And after coming off of an ACL injury, I would take $12 million. So... I mean, maybe Spencer Dinwiddie declines and he decides that he wants to go play for a contender and not with money or whatever. But, I mean, hey, to opt in to $12 million coming off an ACL injury, I would probably take it. So, yeah. We'd have Spencer Dinwiddie as, like, another combo guard with his next season.
Especially if you could squeeze another draft pick out of Brooklyn and that type of deal. Like
Dinwiddie in a second for PJ?
Dinwiddie in a second for PJ. To me, that's probably the ceiling for PJ, unless what people aren't talking about right now in the group, excuse me, is if you package PJ and Oladipo together, You'd have to take a ton of salary.
That'd be a big yeah. If that's going to happen, that's a big trade. Because you rarely see that, I feel like, at the deadline where you package where a seller packages multiple guys in one trade.
Yeah, tonight with Miami beating Utah, Miami might be a landing spot for either one or two of those type of guys that they look at and say, we need to get more firepower at that position, and we're willing to part. In that type of scenario, you take back a guy like Kelly Olynyk, but you land a guy like a Kendrick Nunn. So that way you kind of send out two and you get two back if you're Miami. That's the type of scenario that I think would maybe work out best for the Rockets, is if you find a way to get that type of trade, or a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie, who I would be all for. That's a great idea by Titus.
Let's pull into the J train pulling into the station. One key for Sunday against the Grizzlies.
Oh man, you gotta come out. You gotta come out quick. I mean, you've got to figure out a way to start these games strong. Like tonight in the first quarter, they started strong. You know, they came out. They had a 4-point lead at the end of the first, but you fell off in the second half. You got to come out quick, and you got to continue that momentum through the first half. And this team has proven to be a pretty good second half team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a good job in the second half of ball games, climbing back into the games and not letting the other team build their lead and just run away with it. But they've got to do a better job in the first half of, you know, figuring out how to, you know, build a lead and maintain that lead. So that's my, you know, and obviously to try and contain Ja Morant on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the Rockets, I'm curious to see if John Wall is going to play, if Victor Oladipo is going to play, because it is the first half of a back-to-back. So we're still unsure as to, you know, who is going to play the first night or the second night. I mean, it is close to the All-Star break, but I doubt that the Rockets are going to mess with that, especially now given where the team is. So I think with the Grizzlies, the only way you beat them is you score more points than they do. That's my key to the game. Score more points than the Grizzlies and you will win the game. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Thank you so much to those of you who joined us live on the Locker Room app. This was a lot of fun doing the podcast in a very different way. Love the interaction, the camaraderie in the chat tonight. We will definitely be doing this soon. Be sure to follow us here on Locker Room and follow us on Twitter at the Dream Take and Dreamshake SBN. We appreciate the gems that have been coming our way from our listeners tonight. So thank you so much. And be sure to – you can also follow us personally on Locker Room. You can follow Mike on Locker Room and on Twitter at
BSW_MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Locker Room at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. And if you missed this episode live tonight, you can always join us by subscribing to us and downloading the podcast on your podcast app of choice. We do a post-game show after every Rockets game, win or lose, and even though we've had more losses as of late. We're not sure if we'll do every episode here on Locker Room, but if you follow us over on socials, you will be notified as to when we're here and when we might be somewhere else. But thank you so much for tuning in this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!